You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is time to check in with our friends at 1517, The Legacy Project. Joining us today, Dr. Daniel Van Voorhis. He's a department chair of history and political thought at Concordia University Irvine and a contributor for thejaggedword.com, part of 1517, The Legacy Project, and the podcast, one of the co-hosts of Virtue in the Wasteland podcast for 1517, The Legacy Project. Dr. Van Voorhis, good to have you on the phone today.
Good to be here. Good to talk to you.
Thanks for taking some time. And happy Epiphany, happy New Year, and all those great things. It is a new year. It's been a new church year for some time now, but a new calendar year as well. Exactly. How was 1517? How was 2015 for you?
2015 was great. It was a busy year. It was. I've got two kids, two boys, 3 and 6, and so it's a busy time as a dad. But then also at Concordia Irvine. We've had some fun things happening in various parts of the university, some good things. And so it's been great. And then working with 1517 has been really, really wonderful.
What are some of the things that that you learned? I see you're writing in The Jagged Word. You take a look at some of the things about looking back at 2015 and also Virtue in the Wasteland, reflecting on 2015. Some of the things you learned, some of the things you liked, you didn't like.
Sure. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I think that one of the things, just as a note to anyone who's, you know, listening, we have, you know, I have a particular role that I play as the historian and the political theorist in the group. So I'm one of the guys that's not a theologian. Not that I don't do, we all do theology, right? We all do theology and are interested in it. But we all have different approaches. And of course, on The Jagged Word, I do a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek Monday article that hits on things like fashion and culture. And so, you know, I talked about some of the books that I really liked in that article. On the podcast, we talked a lot about 2015 and the year of Trump. And that's something that I get asked a lot, especially as a historian, as an American historian. People want to know what is going on with Donald Trump and what's going on with you know, this lead up to the 2016 election. And so it's been, you know, the year of Trump, and I think the year of what I say in the podcast is a populism. You know, there's a reason Bernie Sanders is somewhat popular. There's a reason Donald Trump is somewhat popular, and it is a renewed sense of American populism. I think it's it can be very dangerous, but it's an interesting time in our republic historically.
It most certainly is, and the change, the dramatic change, that was right at the end of the year, wasn't it? That we heard that Donald Trump dropped out.
It, you know, there was a rumor because he'd been dropping in numbers, and then people had said, well, if he loses, you know, his numbers in New Hampshire for the second primary, that could be really questionable, and so might he get out before that takes place? So there's been some panic that has led to maybe some conflicting news reports as to what his future is. He is certainly running for president as of right now. You know, he is as high as 39%. I see as of yesterday, in terms of his you know, percentage, his lead in the polls. But it's starting to get really shaky for him, and now the news is kind of turning on him. So this could dissolve in days, or we might, you know, see it go all the way to the primary, the GOP. Convention and have a brokered convention, which for a historian, that's just remarkable. That would be a throwback to 19th century smoke-filled rooms. And it's really fascinating, but it's happening on the left with Bernie Sanders. And the bigger idea behind it is populism, right? Is that this is the year of the individual and of the people in, I think, a kind of dangerous way. Trying to take control of government, taking control of various things in a way that I don't think the Republic was set up to do. Nonetheless, it just shows more and more of our sense of American autonomy as individuals. And boy, I'm just sitting back and watching. And as I reflect on 2015, I mean, of course, you know, ISIS is at the top of the list in so many things. I think there are a lot of things to be looking at. But the overall theme, along with, I think, the Islamic terrorism, is American populism. Those are the two themes of 2015, and I think that they're going to be the themes of 2016 as well.
Now, in reflecting on 2015, over at thejaggedword.com, you mentioned that you usually don't read the best of the year articles.
Yeah.
Try not to put too much stock in them.
Yeah. What I tend to do, and I'm actually, I was writing my article, and I usually write a couple at a time and then, you know, crumple up two or three of them. And, you know, I've always thought I want to do a best of 10 years before or 5 years before. And we actually did this on a show, a podcast, I think it was 2 years ago, where we did a best of the year and a best of 20 years ago. Because I do think we need time. We need time to look back. And so our knee-jerk reactions to 2015 sometimes can be a little bit, you know, a little premature. So I say, listen, we got to be careful with this. You know, we want to come out and say that this was the best ever, or that was the best ever when it comes to books or albums or movies. And so I've, you know, got some things on there. But I did pick out some books that I liked. And but I say, listen, this could change. You know, these are books that I'm in right now. But in 5 years, will that book still be around? Will that album still be around? And I think everything needs the test of time. And I guess that's what the historian is around to always remind people about.
Sure. I'm not an early adopter. You know, when a new when a new version of the operating system for my phone comes out, I'm not the first one to go get it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's and it's ironic because I think that I have an early adopting gene. I love just seeing how things are going to play out. But then at the same time, when we start and the media loves to make, I mean, because we've got to sell, you know, headlines sell and certain kinds of news sells. We've got to make statements that are big and jarring and best ever, worst ever, most dangerous. And that can be dangerous. And so, you know, whether we adopt early or not, whether we see a review for something, say on Rotten Tomatoes or, you know, one of our favorite, you know, authors recommend something, we might go out and buy it right away. We might update to that new iOS. I'm actually looking at my ridiculous iPad Pro on a smart keyboard right now as we talk, because why would I need another machine? But then at the same time, we need to sort of slow down and take the long view and say, okay, well, how good are these things? But then more importantly, and this is where I think where I try and go with my part on the Jagged Word, but also especially the podcast at Virtue in the Wasteland, is to be the somewhat calm fellow who says, let's just draw parallel to this historically, and let's slow down a little bit, because we don't know exactly, you know, if this movie is going to hold up or if this idea is just going to be a sort of flash in the pan. I mean, the church has seen this, the state has seen this. I'm in higher education. We've certainly seen this. It's important to not, you know, hitch our wagon to a star too quickly.
Right. Yeah. Some of these things that are trends or something that fades very quickly. We don't want to place all our trust in that. How do things like movies and television and books and podcasts and articles and blogs, how do those all shape our worldview and our thought?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. There's so many outlets for media. I mean, it's one of the things that comes up in my conversations so often. And it's been a real sort of, you know, since 1517, you know, since the beginning of the Reformation, media has had a very large role in shaping public opinion. And the Reformation had a large part to do with that. And so there is, you know, some parallel between what was happening then and has happened since and now. But now with the various aggregators, now with Apple News, now with the Drudge Report, now with podcasts and with you know, news apps, we're inundated with so much information all the time. And whether it's a tweet or whether it's a 30-second news update, I think we've got more information in our brains than we know what to do with. And it's not that it's all bad, but the little bad information can sort of hide behind good information more easily. It's lost sometimes on my students, but do you remember the game Tetris?
Mm-hmm.
And you had those blocks coming down. And by the time you got to like level 7, 8, 9, those blocks were just coming down, you know, fast and furious. And I kind of feel like that's what we are. We're sort of like that base. And all these blocks are coming in, and our job is to organize these bits of information and put them in the right place and give them the right importance and give them the right weight and weigh them based on the source, weigh them based on all these things, because this is what makes up our worldview, whether we know it or not, and it usually happens silently. So what we're trying to do with 1517, with the Jagged Word, with Virtue in the Wasteland, is we are trying to curate or be co-curators along with things like your show, along with things like other friends and reputable sources that we might link to. So that you can certainly see the entire world, but we help to curate not only sort of how to think, but what to think about. And so it's something that the show, the podcast, we try and do a lot of is, you know, sitting back and thinking about, okay, well, what are the big stories? And which one should we spend our time thinking about? And which ones have become too politicized? And which ones has a bad theology led to a bad public understanding? Or where are hidden worldviews hiding? And where are they not hiding? So I think as all this information comes at us fast and furiously, if we just accept it, and we think that by using a news aggregator or just by checking, you know, Facebook for news articles from time to time, it's not going to affect our worldview, and that we're just somehow getting news, you know, without bias, we're fooling ourselves. And so we've got to be really vigilant and find people that, you know, who are lucky enough, like Virtue in the Wasteland and others, whose job it is to be vigilant and to be curators along with you.
Well, thanks for that partnership and joining with us to bring the good news of Jesus and to make us think about these things, about the Word of God and in the world around us and where that intersects.
Yeah. And that's where I think there needs to be a lot of a partnership, and it's where it's so exciting. There have been for the past couple decades a number of Protestant groups, whether it be the White Horse Inn with Mike Horton. And other groups who have, or R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries, groups that have tried to and have done sort of solid theology, reformational Protestant theology with culture. And the Lutherans, outside of maybe Rod Rosenblatt, who is, one of the, you know, sort of founding members of 1517, or sort of the man behind 1517, he was on White Horse Inn. But for the first time, what we're finding is, culturally, through 1517, the Jagged Word, Virtue in the Wasteland, Christ Hold Fast, we're finding Lutherans and confessional Lutherans at the forefront of doing gospel and culture. And it's so exciting to see that we can really bring our theology and our worldview to bear. It's a really exciting time.
Very good. Well, we are all out of time. Speaking of time, thank you, Dr. Daniel Van Voorhis, Department Chair of History and Political Thought at Concordia University, Irvine, California, and a contributor for the Jagged Word and Virtue in the Wasteland podcast, all part of 1517, the Legacy Project. Thanks for being our guest this morning.
Absolutely. All right.